I'm nursemaid and cook. But he doesn't know about any of these feelings. They are deeply buried in his unconscious, and to make sure that they stay there, he gets back pain. TMS. There was a large group of psychologists and doctors who would put a different interpretation on the young father's plight. They would say his back hurts from lifting the baby and not getting enough sleep. They would also say that the pain is very bad because he's trying to get out of doing his part with the baby. Now he has a good excuse. Of course, they say, this is all unconscious. This is the so-called secondary gain theory of chronic pain. The trouble with it is that first it presupposes a structural reason for the pain, which is usually untenable. Second, it elevates to preeminence a feeling that is either minor or non-existent, that the person is deriving some benefit from the pain. Behavioral psychologists like it, however, because it's simple and all you have to do is reward non-pain behavior and punish its opposite. There is no getting involved with messy, unconscious feelings like anxiety and anger. Years ago, before I knew about TMS, I tried this approach and found it singularly ineffective. Little wonder. It was the wrong diagnosis. All family relationships are emotionally loaded. It is one of the first things to be considered when someone has an attack of TMS that seems to come out of nowhere. The combination of real concern and love for the family member and inner resentment of the duties and responsibilities associated with the relationship are a source of deep conflict, the stuff of which TMS is made. Here is a classic story with some interesting sidelights about the natural history of TMS. The patient was a 39-year-old married man who ran a family business originally started by his father. He told me that his father was still active in the business, but that he had become a hindrance rather than a help. He admitted to conflict with his father over this, and to feeling guilty about the whole thing. The pain syndrome had begun about 2.5 years before, and about 4 months into the experience, he read my first book. He decided it was hogwash, and proceeded to make his way through the medical system, determined to get rid of the pain. He said he saw many doctors and tried virtually every available treatment with no success. 2 years later, he was still in pain, was rapidly becoming obsessed with it, and was extremely limited physically. He was afraid of any physical activity and could not even bend. At that point, he read the book again and reported with incredulity, "It had a totally different effect on me." He said he saw himself on every page. His explanation was that he had to go through all the tests and doctors before he was ready to acknowledge a psychological basis for the pain. Needless to say, he did very well on the program and was soon free of pain. During the consultation, I found him to be so perceptive and psychologically attuned, I could not imagine that he had originally rejected the diagnosis. It was a lesson to me. One of the unfortunate realities about working with a disorder like TMS is that most people will reject the idea until they are desperate for a solution. One of the great sources of conflict in the unconscious is the battle which rages between those feelings and needs that stem from narcissistic impulses and another very real part of the mind that is concerned about what is appropriate, reasonable, and mature, or even more demanding, with what you should be doing. The well-known psychoanalyst, writer, and teacher Karen Horney described what she called the tyranny of the should, which may dominate someone's life. Patients often describe in detail how their lives are governed by these behavioral imperatives. One woman told me, after denying that she was compulsive or perfectionistic, that she came from a family that prided itself on its strength of character and rigidity, stiff upper lip, and all that stuff. It was clear that there were other parts of her personality that were softer and more pliable. So the conflict in her unconscious must have been considerable. Sometimes the pressure to behave in a certain way comes from one's culture. I recall a strikingly attractive woman who was part of a religious group that believed in very large families. 6 or 8 children were not unusual. Though she acknowledged that her pain was due to tension, it persisted, and she couldn't understand why. I suggested that she might be resentful of the work and responsibility for such a large family. For a long time, she denied this, insisting that she felt no such resentment, and the pain continued, sometimes very severely. I pointed out that she would not be aware of the feeling since it was unconscious and repressed. Perseverance, both hers and mine, paid off. She began to get inklings of her deeply repressed resentment, and then had a dramatic resolution of her symptoms. The longer I work with TMS, the more impressed I am with the role of anger. We have all learned to repress it so completely that we are totally unaware of its existence in many situations. In fact, I have concluded that anger is more fundamental to the development of symptoms than anxiety, and indeed, that anxiety itself may be a reaction to repressed anger. The following story made a deep impression on me. The man was in his mid-40s and, among other things, had a history of having occasional panic attacks. These represent acute anxiety. After having examined him and established that he had TMS, we discussed the psychology of the disorder. I told him that I was beginning to suspect that anger might be more important than anxiety. He said that something had just happened to him that supported that supposition. He had become extremely angry at someone and was on the point of starting an altercation when he decided that it would not be appropriate, that he had better swallow it. Within moments, he had a panic attack. He was probably more than angry. He was in a rage. And the need to repress it, both unconsciously and consciously, necessitated some kind of reaction, hence the panic attack. As we shall see in a moment, this is precisely the kind of situation that brings on TMS and other physical reactions. But first, let's consider the phenomenon of repression. Where does it come from? I remember a mother telling me proudly how she had stopped the temper tantrums in her little 15-month-old. Her supposedly, quote, wise family doctor suggested that she splash ice water in the child's face when he started to have a tantrum. It worked beautifully. He never had another tantrum. At the ripe age of 15 months, he had learned the technique of repression. He had been programmed to repress